Hi, this is Adam Carolla. I want to thank you for supporting this podcast on the Carolla Digital Network. Everyone here at Carolla Digital is very proud of the shows that we put out every week and are excited about the future of our network. However, a patent troll is threatening that future by suing us. We need to fight back and beat the troll down. If we go down, all the other shows on the other networks you've grown to love are going to go down next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll to donate and find out other ways that you can help beat the patent trolls. Thank you and mahalo.
Hey, this is Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars. I actually have a podcast that I call my podcast. It's podcast1.com. It's every week. I'm going to sit behind this mic. You'll hear me spew venom, tell you what I think is the stupidest shit I've ever heard, and basically my opinion on everything and the weirdness of the world. It's podcast1.com. This is my podcast. Download my show. You know what? Give me a shot.
Download it now at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you have been asking for it, so here it is. We're going to give you 3 episodes of Classic Loveline every week. That means more Adam.
Oh, shut up.
Or me. Listen. Listen. And more of those amazing Classic Loveline show moments.
My wife gets mad at this stuff, and Adam's like, oh, who wears the pants in your house? What? How dare you put up with that? If my wife knows not to behave like that, because she knows
now,
she
your
does.
Wife calls the show and yells at you during the show.
So I shouldn't wait till I get home, and we're done by the time I get home.
Download them every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at podcast1.com.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining the program and supporting the program and spreading the good word, because that's what we rely on. Drew, you yes. have something you want to talk about?
Got, with got
your
a bunch
son?
Of stuff. Got a oh yeah yeah. So I just thought of you. I thought you'd enjoy this story. He'll go up in your esteem. Mm. He went to Australia for a semester. Guy mm-hmm. works his ass off. I mean, although I'm jealous, I would like to live his life. He really works his ass off.
Okay,
as all my kids do, and they really do. But, you know, he went to New Zealand. He was, you know, bungee jumping over a 3,000-foot gorge. And he goes to Thailand and rides an elephant and goes all over Thailand.
Yeah.
In Thailand.
That's what they call chicks over 110 pounds in Thailand.
Elephants?
Yeah.
Well, he has lots of pictures with him Sorry. With chicks with dicks. He has a bunch of pictures of those. I was like, really? Like, was that a guy or a girl? That's a guy. It's, oh. They're known for that over there.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something quickly before we get to this.
Yeah.
That there's not a whole lot of that in the Armenian culture. And my theory is, that's a tougher putt. Do you know what I'm saying? Whereas
well,
the Thai people...
Be necessary.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it... You know, which came first? You know, the chicken or the hairy egg or the hairless egg? God, you know what I'm funny. Saying?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just... When you take a look at the Thai people, the chasm between the dudes and the chicks is not Snake River Canyon.
This is like an attack on Maxipata, is what you're saying. It's an attack.
I am saying that we all know guys who it'd just be physically impossible to make. But there's a cultural thing.
But there's also there are arguments that maybe that's part of the biological thing that sets people up for that. You know, why do some people go that way and other people go become murderers? Well,
no. Are you saying, which is interesting,
that I'd make a good-looking girl?
Yes,
yes.
That's what I'm saying.
No, well, no. What I'm saying is this.
You better go on that.
Biologically, the dudes with the hairy backs and the big barrel chests.
Maybe that's a more higher testosterone or something.
Yeah, yeah, no. What I'm saying is,
we're trying to figure that out.
Maybe in certain cultures, there is not that chasm between the male and the female
biologically.
Biologically,
yeah.
Which then makes them physically not so far apart, but also mentally, it's a little easier to make that transition.
Right.
It's interesting.
I think that's right, and people are actually actively working on that. You know, what is that? You know, what is there some biological thing going on here? Now, I have seen some guys that were pretty masculine in their male days.
It can be done. Yeah. But what I'm saying is It's not a cottage industry.
In Armenia.
Yeah, or Israel, or you know, places like that. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think of where, you know, there's some places where it's an industry. It's not an industry in Armenia.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Not yet.
Nice.
Until I get over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so you have anything to do about it.
New sheriff in town.
So he's eating everything.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a little agita. And he...
Hold on a second. I thought the agita was angst.
And then
the angina was...
Angina's chest
your heart.
Pain. Chest
yeah.
pain. Agita, it means your stomach's spinning about.
Yeah,
it's usually anxiety related, but it can be an actual gastroenterological cause.
Right.
In his case, it was infectious. And was in a...
What was he eating?
Scorpions and Thai food of all types and, you know...
Motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. And he didn't tell what the shop was, but he was... told to get the fuck out of my shop after he let a little gas go.
Wow. Yeah. He's a Pinsky.
Yeah. I thought, wow, I got to share this with Adam. And when he told the story, of course, my other son immediately thought, you're my hero. And they had to tell all their friends.
Well,
he was traveling with some women. They didn't think it was as funny. But
the elephants.
It also... It also reminded me of the time that Kimmel, which I told somebody the story, when he cleared the airport van.
Well,
do you remember this?
Do I remember the birth of my twins? First off, it was not an airport van.
I thought it was a rental car.
No, okay. Let's get the story straight.
All right, good. Okay, tell
get
me.
The story straight.
All right.
It was a shuttle bus. It was the shuttle bus that they use at Irvine Meadows. Takes you from the Irvine Marriott to the Irvine Meadows.
Oh, so it's the K-Rock shuttle.
Right.
Got it.
We
okay.
all know... I'm laughing on two accounts. One is... there's two things that are funny, which I find interesting. One is, you know that when you do the Irvine Weenie Rose, or the big event every year, and it's like, oh, Beck and the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they take the shuttle, which is about a 30-person bus, maybe 25-person
bus.
There's
different sizes, different ones.
There's no
generally,
van.
Generally about 30.
There's no vans. It's a shuttle.
Right.
And it leaves the Irvine Marriott every 40 minutes or something, and you show up, they tell us all, park here, they'll get you a room if you want. I would always go home that night because I just fucking want to sleep in my own bed. Yeah. But you go there, you have a beer in the bar, you wait around for the shuttle, and then all you guys pile in. Now, who's all you guys? It's not the fans. It's the A&R guys, the record guys, the guys, occasionally band members.
Well, band entourage very much, right?
Yeah, label guys.
Girlfriends, labels, yeah. But friends of the labels, lots of
hang-ons. It's guys with laminates.
Yeah.
And it's guys who either have record companies
they
or A&R guys. Yeah, yeah, they're the heavy hitter guys and are the girlfriends of the heavy hitters.
Right.
And they show up and they take the shuttle to the event, because the event has 20,000 people and you can't park, and the shuttle. Now, the shuttle, although physically is not that far from the event, because of all the cars and all the traffic and all the whatever, takes you a while. It
takes 20 minutes. 15? No.
No, it's 40. It's right, like 40 minutes. Right. I mean, by the time the guy's always driving incredibly slow.
Yeah.
The thing that always cracks me up is it's the biggest alternative music station in the land. The guys that are in the van are either working for the station, working for the record labels, working for the bands, and all the bands are the biggest. You know, it's Blink 182 and a bunch of guys like that. The guy who drives the van is always a 55-year-old black guy, and he's got it tuned to K-Day, and we're listening to Kool and the Gang. So it's like, we're listening to black music on the way to the biggest alternative whatever event in the world. And here's my argument when it comes to racism. None of the all-white people in the shuttle ever stand up and go, hey, man, could you put it on K-Rock? Could you put it on the white guy station that we all work for? No one wants to hassle the guy. No one wants to be that guy.
Right.
And I try to explain to my black friends all the time, you don't understand, for every act of racism, there are 30 guys that are whose business is alternative rock. It's not that that's the music they prefer. That's their livelihood, that are sitting in this van right now, and we're listening to Sista Soulja, and not a one of them is telling you to change the station because he doesn't want to be that dude.
I hate to get far off this Kimmel
story. Interesting,
but
though, right?
Let me take us further down that path. Did you hear about this Kardashian episode where she went to Austria? Did you hear about this?
No.
Okay. I'm not a fan of that show, but I think she's done a huge service. She was kicked. Listen, I know the pusses on these guys. Yeah, I know you. These words are coming out of my mouth. On the way to Austria, she was kicked off the first class of the airline, had to take a private jet because the Austrians were too disturbed that she has an N baby with her and that she – oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And she ends up in Austria.
Hold on a second. N stand for North?
Norwegian.
Oh.
Norwegian.
Okay.
And lover, this kind of business. She gets there at the airport. Greeted by those sorts of messages, goes to the goes to the basically the White House where they're all in tie and tails, white tie. Look at it, Gary, and is greeted there by a guy in tails in blackface,
Wait a minute.
This happened a while ago.
This happened a while. Well, you got to start the story with this happened a long time ago.
I know that happened a long time ago. I didn't know that. I thought I heard
about this story, yeah.
But the point is, I mean, that's a – and, you know, was constantly greeted by these sorts of – I mean,
Right. But that ain't this country.
No, I know. I'm just saying, though, but that's an interesting indictment of the world we live in. I mean, that's like,
I try to explain to people – look, during international competition in soccer, the black guy's doing the corner kick in Spain. He's being pelted with bananas.
Well,
we would never tolerate that.
No,
here.
Well, they have an end racism campaign for the FIFA. And my thing is like, hey, you shouldn't let those guys compete in with countries that have that shit. They just, you're out. That's it.
Spain, by the way, this is how I know there's no God. Spain was the biggest perpetrator of the black soccer players making the whole crowd, the whole stadium would erupt in gorilla sounds quiet in Spain. They would all do gorilla sound, monkey sounds when the guy was doing the corner kick or the free kick or whatever. They would pelt the guy with bananas. Guess who won the World Cup that year? Spain. Hence, no God. If there was a God,
that's justice.
If there was a God, a fucking 747 would have hit that stadium.
Justice. Yeah,
Spain won the World Cup.
And
being insanely racist.
Yes, no justice. I agree.
Zero fucking justice.
Yeah, they should have been kicked off. I think they should have been kicked off FIFA right
then. Of course. Yeah. By the way, they have this. They have the neo-Nazi groups that show up and go into full chants in these places. By the way, we act like America invented slavery. We act like we invented racism. And the reality is we're far ahead of many of these fucking backwards countries, even the developed ones.
Yeah, some.
Everyone but Australia, and they're too drunk to be racist. If they would sober up, I'm sure they'd be racist.
All right, so Kimmel's taking this van from the Marriott to the venue.
Well, we're taking the van back. And it's not a van. Stop calling
it's
it a van.
Bus. It's a bus.
It's a bus. Yeah. It's a shuttle
like
bus.
It's a small bus.
It's not. There's 30 souls.
Yeah. It's a bus seats. You're sitting in seats with like.
Yes. It's the ones that are.
It's not a yellow bus. It's
a nice. Probably go about 10 or 12 rows deep. Yeah. And there's two on each side. Yeah. And then the back sort of a big bench. And hence, when it fills up, there's 28 people on it.
Yeah.
He starts letting it fly.
Putting you on notice that he's doing it, or just on the DL?
It's just happening.
Okay, it's happening.
And
had eaten some of those fish tacos at the venue or
jerk chicken.
Okay,
we are basically stuck in traffic in this parking lot, trying to get through the throngs and sea of humanity. Because as you leave the backstage area.
Yeah.
You try to get through this, the waves of people that are walking, and you know, you can't run anyone over and blah, blah, blah. And so we're traveling about 3 miles an hour, so there's not much flow going through the place. And he is farting this thing up. And people, to me, where the comedy really kicks in. Now, the thing that's funny, there's a couple things that are funny. It's a bus, so the windows don't open from the bottom. They open from the top. They're the kinds that slide down at the top and only create about a 6-inch or 4-inch slot at the top, so the kids can't crawl out of it kind of thing. So people are sliding the windows down, turning their heads sideways and trying to shove their face.
Before they say anything, they're doing this?
Well, the thing that always cracks me up, and I don't know why, I love super serious hipster. I don't know why. Like self-righteous, serious hipster. He's got the stupid tattoo. He's got the stupid facial hair. He's got the stupid, like, everything. And he's wearing, like, the lineman. When I say lineman, I mean lineman for the county, kind of like boots, like big boots. Like the, you know,
he's usually too old for this shit, too, right? That guy?
Well, no.
The young ones. Okay.
Right. Quietly, we focus on the guys who wear cowboy boots as being kind of the douchebags of society. Let me tell you who the real douchebags are. The guys who wear the lineman boots. You show me a picture of one of those. That's the one with the big heel. But it laces up.
Oh,
and it's
got
like the steel shank
and
the steel toe. They're boots that the guys who climb telephone poles wear. They have to have a steel shank in them because those guys are standing on the spikes all the time. Yeah. There'd be murder on their feet. It's way too much. You're going to a fucking concert.
Yeah.
It's 103 degrees at Irvine in July. The fuck do you need big fucking
nice.
Now we're showing a picture of the ones that go up high. There's a lower
they
cut
go just over the ankle basically.
Version. Yeah, it's just it's a hiking boot height version. But it's way too much heel, way too much sole. You don't need oil resistant, steel reinforced, blah blah blah. You're riding a fucking bus to go see Blink 182 and have a fucking Heineken. Like, the fuck you wearing the boots for, douchebag? And they take 20 minutes to put on in the morning. For me, it's like I gotta slide in and kick off, whatever. All right, point is this. There's nothing more comical for me. This is just for this broadcaster, because as you know, I don't laugh that much at a lot of things. There is nothing more comical than when that guy, and by the way, I want to see a picture of that guy from his high school yearbook, because I guarantee he looks, there's nothing resembles. He's wearing a Reds batting helmet and a velour shirt, and he's the biggest fucking geek in the world. But he's reinvented himself for his adult life.
Yeah.
When that douchebag gets very serious in his tone and is like, dude, seriously, my lady's on this bus. That makes me laugh harder than anything on the planet. So,
and he must love that.
He
flashes back to high school.
I never stopped laughing. Like, when that guy got serious with the, hey, seriously, dude, seriously, that's what makes me laugh. Not the farting, the very super serious.
Was it just one guy reaction, or was it a series of them?
There were... It started with one guy, probably a chorus of 4 or 5 guys. At a certain point,
how did they identify the perpetrator?
it wasn't that hard. He was sitting in the middle of the bus, me and his cousin Sour laughing maniacally. At a certain point, our driver of color stood up with air freshener and started spraying it. Started spraying it at Jimmy and on the bus. Can I tell you, I've said it many times, Jimmy's been hit with aerosol air freshener in a bus and on a plane on a Southwest flight. I was with him on a Southwest flight on the way to my bachelor party where he farted up the entire back of the plane. And the stewardess got the air freshener. They have air freshener and sprayed it at him. I said, Jimmy, if you could complete this on a train... Then
the
your life, the cycle, you would have hit for the cycle. He got up and literally was spraying it at him.
What were people saying?
They were very super serious. They were angry. They were like, you know, I have kids. I have my wife's on this bus. Like, dude, you know, like, again, when Mr. Righteous with the funky facial hair and the lineman boots had to get all fucking serious, you know, that it was making me laugh harder and shit. So.
they must have loved that when you laughed.
Oh, my God. Well, it was,
they made them more angry, I'm sure.
I couldn't stop myself in the time. Guy getting really righteous about it. But find me that boot, Gary. It's driving me nuts. All right. Then when we finally got to the Marriott, the guy opened the door and people spilled out like there was a bomb on the bus. That's how they spilled out.
Did he keep unleashing? Oh, there it is. That's a hiking boot, right?
Yeah. Come on. Show me the lineman boots. Big heel. You know what else it has? It has the weird flap that goes over the laces.
Yeah.
Gary, why show me a hiking boot?
That's the Red Wing lineman
boot. But you showed me the boot, right? Yeah?
Yeah, originally.
You did. You had it. It's just the lower version.
Did he continue to relieve himself all the way down the freeway?
It look.
Or it just lingered, whatever.
It never ended. It never ended. So it
was he proud of himself?
Yeah, there's the boot.
Oh, there we go.
And then to make things even worse, they'll have the weird serrated leather flap that then hangs over the front, like for even more protection when you're in the beer line at the fucking venue, you pussies. By the way, you know who does these boots? Short dudes.
Oh.
This is their heel. This is their stripper wedgie.
So they get the heel, yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to wear cowboy boots because that'll make them a douchebag.
Right.
But this boot gives you an extra 2.5-3 inches, and it's always on the short dude.
I'm going to take those up.
It's also the tough guy, too. The guy thinks he's going to be a tough guy.
Right, I'm going to kick your ass, my steel-toe boot.
Right. So for me, it's always just too hot, and it takes too long. And to me, putting on shoes and taking off shoes is one of those life wastes of time that I'd like to make as short as possible. I just tie my shoe and slip my foot into it and kick it off again.
Yeah, leave the
like
leave
it's one of those. Yeah. It doesn't make me money. It doesn't make me happy. No. It's just more time spent doing nothing. Interesting, though, Drew. The men and the women who have an inordinate amount of time to tie up, pardon the pun, in their shoes. Mm. Not the big achievers in life. Think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But imagine.
I'm not sure there's a direct correlation but it's a trend.
No, look. When you need it, you know, when you're fucking logger, you need it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're going to work for Google.
Right.
And you got a fucking cubicle, and you just physically, in the morning, it's just taking those things, putting them on and taking them off. It's just extra 5 minutes a day times every day.
Yeah.
Fucking hassle.
Yeah.
For zero anything. You don't need the steel shank. You work at Google.
Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
All right. So
there's a payoff on this.
Well, the payoff is the door opens and people go pouring out of the door, like bodies on top of each other, just pushing out and spilling out into the foyer or whatever it is of the Marriott. Okay. Now, the bus has been cleared out. We're still sitting in there laughing and, you know, sort of enjoying the fruits of his ass labor. And
the fruits of his asshole.
So we're just sitting there and laughing. And every single person, and when I say every single person, I mean 22 out of the 27 people that were on the bus are now having to check into the hotel because they got to the hotel at 11 in the morning.
Right.
There's no checking in at 11 in the morning.
Yes.
They went, they got sunburnt, they got a buzz, they got farted up on the bus. And now it's, you know, 8 o'clock at night or whatever it is. They're all staying at the hotel.
Yeah.
So they all file out of the bus and they all make a beeline to the check-in counter. Now, of course, there's two people behind or three people behind the counter and 22 people coming at them in a wave. So there's 6-7 people deep and they're all sort of queued up and they're in a box, like three lines, seven deep, all just standing at the counter with their backs to the bus. Jimmy gets off the bus and he goes, I got one more. He walks up quietly behind them. Now, their backs are all turned to them, and they're still talking about it, but their backs are all to the bus, and now they, in their mind, they've made it to safety. Oh, no. They're not safe. They got one more left in the chamber. He quietly just walks to the back of the line, sort of stands, starts to pivot around, lets one more big one fly. And the people in line are like, oh no, oh my God, it's back. Oh, and
it's like, start screaming and crying. The humanity.
They thought they'd made it to safety. A long journey.
But as I recall, Jimmy had a response to that. It was in the bus where he got real serious himself. I like this
I think
part
it was
of it.
Cousins.
No. Jimmy went, hey, man, we're all adults here. Remember this part? He goes, relax. We're adults.
I was laughing so hard that I just I just couldn't maintain myself.
He told the story at his show. Somebody told me the other day about you. He loved the story of you kicking my son out of the plane seat to sit next to me. I'd forgotten about this. It was last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know he was your son.
Well, Adam stood over my son, towering over him like, hey, I'm going to sit there. And my son's looking at him, doesn't even speak, like, yeah, I'm over there. I need to sit by this guy. You move.
Right? I didn't know he was going on the trip. There has to be a context, Drew, in life. It's all context.
We're on our way to Boston. Did you wonder why my wife was in the next aisle over? Just because we saved a seat for you next to me? Was that?
Look, I've had it happen a million times with the fucking tickets where you're getting on the plane and you're sitting not with the person you'd like to sit with for one reason or another. I didn't yell at him. I was just going to swap seats with him. I didn't recognize he was, you know.
Part of the story that we all enjoyed the most, though, that Kimmel doesn't know, is you sat next to some guy in sandals. Remember this?
Yes.
Sandals and had seven Bloody Marys and talked politics for 6 hours.
Yes.
It was
loudly.
Loudly. And it got louder. It's more with each Bloody.
Yeah.
And then you two started fighting. Remember the guy started taking issue with you?
He was like lived in Santa Monica, worked for the teachers unions or something. And these guys, they don't look, they try. They just don't they can't back it up.
By the way, why is he in furs if he's working for a union?
So a lot of money floating around those places. He was a nice enough guy. It's just look, they do these I had a guy on my shows and last week, wrote a book. Nice enough guy, but he's in academics, you know, and they live in that fucking world, you know. And he was explaining, you know, he was disappointed that Bloomberg wasn't able to get the soda tax passed or the banning of the soda. Aaron James is his name. Nice guy. But they come from this world. He said to me at a certain point, he's like, well, but don't you think charging more, like, you know, he said, you know, charging more for cigarettes has gotten people to smoke less cigarettes. And I said, no, social stigma has gotten people to smoke less cigarettes. And he's like, well, you know, he's an academic, you know.
Well, the academics would support that point of view. That's probably why you got him.
And but the price, you know, charging for the price. I said, listen, in 1985, Coke was $110 a gram and everyone did it. And now it's $30 a gram and not so many people are doing it. Is that the price or is that the social stigma? It's not acceptable to go to even a Hollywood party. We were at a Hollywood party last Saturday with a whole bunch of comedians. Back in the day, John Belushi would have pulled out a big fucking eight ball and everyone would have got high. You would have been in a place with a bunch of atheists that are smoking weed and free, you know, not judging. If you would have pulled out some cocaine at that party, people would have been like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So the social stigma, because again, it was $110 a gram when the minimum wage was $3. Now minimum wage is $9 and it's $30 a gram. So is it the price or is it the stigma? I believe you create
stigma is very powerful.
You alter behavior by stigma, and first thing that starts with the stigma is the judging.
Yeah.
And we ain't doing enough judging.
And where we need it.
That's why.
It's a good example of where we've used it and it worked. It's a good example.
Yeah.
Positive example, yeah.
Yeah. It worked that way with cigarettes. It worked that way with cocaine. It worked. Yeah. Here we are at a big Hollywood party.
Right.
200 people.
Yeah.
Anyone doing coke or anyone smoking?
No.
That's insane, right?
Yeah.
This is fucking these. I mean, this is Saturday night.
Yeah.
People are getting drunk. If you're going to smoke, now's the time to smoke. If you're going to do coke, now's the time to do coke.
Yeah.
No one.
No one.
What would that have been like 30 years ago?
Ugh.
Well, first off, every second person would have had a cigarette in their hand, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Phone calls, Drew?
Let's do it. Oh, you want to do a little bark box before we do?
All right, I'll do a little bark box. Love these guys. 46 full-size products, innovative toys, all natural, single ingredient treats. Molly loves bark box. Rex and Lily love
Lulu. Whatever.
Way off. Lulu. Love the bark box. 3 monthly plans, each tailored to your dog's size. Ensure the appropriate treats and toys are delivered so you get the right size stuff for the right size mutt, right size pooch. Sign up at barkbox.com/Adam. By the way, they have grooming products and toys, and well, they use American vendors. So
that's good. They're raising dough for animal rights. Animal what?
Well, the welfare organization, welfare, shelters, yeah. All that stuff. Yeah. They got $150,000 donated last year. They're going to do $1 million this year. 10% of all their proceeds go to help out the needy dogs out there. So barkbox.com/M. By the way, you think you're getting this for your dog. Get it for your wife. Be the hero that got the BarkBox thing that impresses them.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect for Valentine's Day.
That's right. No, don't get it for her. Just get it for your fucking dog, but be the person that's thinking about...
Yes.
Seriously, the way women view you, in the correlation between the way you treat your dog, I mean, you want to get a chick horny? Do something good for the dog. It's crazy, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Get out of the doghouse.
Yeah, get out of the doghouse with BarkBox.
Ooh, that should be the tagline.
Yeah, it is now. All right, Steve.
Matt first.
Matt?
Matt's been waiting a while.
Okay. Matt's line 5.
Yeah.
Matt, 24, San Jose.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, now.
Good.
So I've been sober for 5 months, 5 months and 5 days today, and just the past couple of days have been really tough. I've been wanting to, I guess weed was my drug of choice, believe it or not. And,
what do you mean? Why do you say believe it or not?
Because everyone's like, it's weed. It's just weed. You know, it's become, well, to you guys talking about social stigma, it's become really socially acceptable in today's society.
Yeah. But alcohol is acceptable too. It's still, they're both very addictive compounds for some people. Some people, not everybody.
But I feel like more people think that...
It doesn't matter what people think, Matt. It's just simply a fact. It's just simply a fact. For some people, it is exceedingly addictive. Some people, and you're one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been more sensitive to it. It's like when I get high, I get like this euphoria. And
well, hold on a second. Let me say this as I get on in years and I now... see people that have been smoking pot, you know,
long time.
Every day for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, cocaine has a sort of shit or get off the pot kind of quality to it, which is you just can't do it for 30 years.
Right.
It just doesn't work
way.
You either fucking...
You can't even do it for every day. It comes in binges, typically.
Yes, yeah. And you either get into rehab or you kill yourself or whatever after your second divorce or whatever. You end up in jail, whatever it is.
Yep.
Pot is a little bit insidious because it's considered to be harmless. Mm-hmm. You can engage in it every day. Mm-hmm. I mean... It lingers for, you know, quite a period of time, and it's a daily process, and you blink your eyes, and 30 years has gone by. I mean, there are not too many drugs where you can say, whether it's painkillers or whether it's crack cocaine, I get up in the morning, I have a bong load, or I have, you know, I snort my cocaine. I have my cocaine high, you know, just sort of running throughout the day, and I do it every day, and it's been 30 years.
It's hard.
It's hard. Look, even with booze, you can drink a lot of booze, but it's still hard to
do it all day.
Have a couple of beers and then go to work.
Yeah. But I don't know about you. I couldn't smoke pot and go to work. I couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't, but the people I know who do.
Yeah, they do. And it has a different biology in certain people. And it doesn't progress the way other drugs do.
But that's the insidious part of it, in the sense that there's no mandate.
Well, here's what happens. There's no consequence that gets your attention.
Yes, nobody ever says we need an intervention.
Well,
for the guy who does the wake and bake.
I have seen.
Well,
that
but what I'm saying is, all the guys I know who smoke pot, wake and bake, leave the house. You know, nobody says, "Look, we got to get hold of Doug Benson and get his friends and family around him." No, it works for him.
Yeah, it works for him.
It's fine.
But for most people, and Matt, I don't know if you went through this, but most people, the euphoria kind of wears off over time. And you have to smoke so damn much that it starts to really have side effects and you get more depressed. Did you experience that?
To an extent. I mean, yeah, it never really fully went away, but yeah, I definitely developed a tolerance to it.
Yeah, and sometimes that takes 20 years before that happens. For you, it happened when it happened. Most people that can't stop pot would happily keep using if they didn't have that kind of a phenomenon where it started affecting their ability to – they needed more, and when they smoke more, it starts affecting their ability to function a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I never went anywhere in life. I mean, I'm 24 years old, and I've kind of – that was my moment. It wasn't really a moment, but I just realized I'm a loser, and I need to sober up and do something with my life.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah, honestly, listening to you guys help. The shaming that Adam does, it works. It works. I like it.
Shaming works. I like it.
All right. Thank you.
Wait. He wants to know how to stay sober. That's his question. Your question is how to stay sober, how to continue to maintain sobriety?
Well, it's been tough the past couple of days. I don't know. I've just been feeling anxious, and I was wondering, like, I don't want to smoke again. Like, life's actually been pretty good to me.
But here's why you need a program, or at least a therapist.
I am in a program.
You're in which one?
AA.
Okay.
I stopped drinking, too.
Okay. So you should call your sponsor. You're probably not doing the step work right now, because the fact that you...
I am.
Oh, good. How far are you along? Good for you.
I'm on the eighth step.
Oh, that's too fast. That's too fast.
I mean, 5 months is too...
Yeah, usually people are just getting to their fourth step.
Is it about a year? What is it?
It's a year-ish.
It's 12 step, right?
If I were you, I'd go back.
Wait.
Yeah, it's 12 steps. 12
and it's 12
steps.
Months in a year. Is that...
And, it's not really set up that way. I mean, you could do it as fast as Matt's doing it.
Wait a minute. What's the one I hate? The ninth?
The amends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the ninth?
Eighth or ninth, yeah.
Can't we treat it like one of those hotel buildings that doesn't have a 13th floor?
To skip
it? We just go right from the 8th to the 10th, so I don't have to get the call from the dude and goes, hey. And I always do the thing where they make the amends, where they go, where I go, hey, no problem, no harm, no foul. It's no problem. And they go, no, it is a problem, and you need to hear me out. And I'm like, no, we're good. I didn't mind you when you're drunk around me. I was fine with that. Yeah, I've had a few of those. I don't like them.
Yeah, they shouldn't be affecting you because they're
too
not.
Late.
Yeah,
they picked up the fucking phone. I put SportsCenter on pause.
Just when you feel like this, call peers, sober peers, get to some meetings, talk about it, and you'll be surprised. It's really the fundamentals of the program at this stage is about learning to regulate emotions without looking outside of your body to feel better.
Matt, is there the amends the eighth or the ninth step?
It's the ninth step. The eighth step is writing down a list of the people you have to make amends to.
Right. Oh, let's make the ninth step burning the fucking list.
I would not make an amends until you've been sober a year. That's just me. But I don't want to get in the way of – how long has your sponsor been sober?
Not very long, about 8 months.
Oh,
a little
dude,
longer than me.
Matt.
Whoa.
Matt.
What?
Whoa.
That guy should not be sponsoring anybody. Period. That is fucked up. You get yourself a new sponsor. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to get involved. I'm an outsider and stuff. I shouldn't be getting involved with what goes on in there. But you need somebody 5 years plus sober. I'm not kidding. Okay? That's why you're being jacked around. That's why you're having trouble. don't shame the guy, but just go ahead and need another sponsor. That's it. 5 years sober minimum.
So I have that conversation where you're like, I just feel like I want to see other sponsors. you know.
That's kind of it.
I just want my freedom, you know. And I'm not saying we can't be sponsor friends. And I just.
I wonder if people are going to be mad at me for being that specific about programs. See, I'm not a program person, so
who's
I feel like.
Who's going to be mad at you?
Look, people from the program.
You need a sponsor. Look, first off, a sponsor's better than no sponsor, but I've never heard of a sponsor that was sober.
No, the idea is.
3 weeks.
You just do that.
3 months before the other guy got.
No, they can't disagree with me about the comment.
They were both fucked up over the holidays.
It's that you shouldn't be making specific. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. And certainly somebody in the program shouldn't do it in the media. So I feel like you got to. I got to do that.
I like my tough love. Turning him around.
I know. He shamed him.
How about, you know, bring it up every 4 months. But how about the bathroom policy here?
It's all good.
Got laid out. Everyone knows about it. Works perfectly. No problemos. All right. Let's speak to Steve, 31, Pennsylvania. Steve.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
You bet, sure.
I got a grandfather that's 77 years old, and he's the primary caretaker for my grandmother who's got Alzheimer's.
Oh boy.
She's had two prostate biopsies in the past.
When?
And
when?
I couldn't tell you exactly when.
All
right. I mean, it's been something I've been watching with him for years.
Okay.
I don't know what these numbers mean, Drew.
Yeah.
I expect maybe you would have an idea.
Go ahead.
And in the past year, they've gone from 2.5 to 3.7. I don't know exactly what those numbers mean.
That's his PSA, probably. Do you know what his Gleason score was?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's okay. To the moon.
All right. Dude, how many people get that besides you and me?
Gary seems
Gary. To. Gary. Old school.
Seems to have gotten it. Max Zapata.
Gleason score.
To the moon?
Jackie Gleason, to the moon? No. Okay. Anyway.
Why would Gary get it?
I don't know. He's old soul.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's his PSA. I'm going to assume that's the PSA. And we
Jackie
don't know.
Jackie Gleason's catch line was, to the moon, Alice, to the moon.
Yeah.
He would send him. He's going to. It was back when it was funny to threaten violence on your wife.
Yes. Comedy. High comedy.
It's high comedy. Like, oh, one of these days.
Domestic violence.
Yeah. Eyebrow for me.
He'd
Sorry.
Make a fist and be like, one of these days.
Hold it in her face.
One of these days. Boom! To the moon! Like, I was literally just going to hit her with an uppercut that was so.
Yeah. I'm going to kill my wife.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Pow! To the moon!
Okay. So, Steve, he's 77. The PSA is climbing. We don't know his Gleason score. He's at two biopsies. We don't know when. And the question is.
Well, yeah, he's read some literature saying that at his age, something else is going to kill him before prostate cancer will, so should he even bother getting it checked out? I mean, he's more or less saying he doesn't want to get another biopsy because of the downtime he'd have, and also he's got to take care of grandma, so.
He is right to a point. If it was a new diagnosis, you wouldn't even make the diagnosis at his age. Because that's in fact true, that he will die of something else. The problem is if he was diagnosed at 65 or 70, it kind of puts him in a different category, and we don't know the Gleason scale and this kind of stuff. So I don't know. I can't really answer specifically without more information, except to say it's not irrational what he's saying. 100% of men that live to 100 have prostate cancer. A lot of men in their 80s have prostate cancer, and they die of something else. It's very slow growing. It's a different disease in that category. I had it in my 50s. It's a different – it's a separate illness. And we're trying to get an understanding of all these differences, like get markers for what differentiates a 55-year-old's prostate cancer from a 48-year-old's, from a 77-year-old's. They're different illnesses in different age group, and maybe even different tumors and different behaviors. And mine had was a low Gleason but a high volume. And what does that mean? We don't even know. But in his case – is he in a program for active surveillance? Like, is it a research program?
Yeah, they've been monitoring it for some time.
No, but is it just sort of he and is it he and a urologist, or is it he is part of a big system that he's like in a research protocol?
Oh, not that I know of.
All right. Well, make sure he talks to his – whatever it is, make sure he talks to his urologist about it, and you maybe want to be there when they have that conversation. Okay? He's not way out, but it's sounding like he might be better off with the biopsy. But, Steve, it's no small matter getting that fucking needle in your prostate 20 times, and especially at 70.
Oh, no, I'd much rather get ass raped than have cancer.
Well, no, no. This is like an ass rape. Is what I'm saying. It's like you're getting shot 20 times. Like it's being shot. I mean, I had like four of those. I think four. And by the time I was coming in for the last time, I broke into sweat just laying down, like anticipating this thing. And they just blast you. It's like having like somebody in your inside just boom.
Ugh.
And then I got prostatitis afterwards, and I was sick for 6 months. And at 77, I could see where it could lay you out. So
yeah, I mean, you were.
I was not right.
Well, no, but you were young and strong.
That's right.
And in great shape, and it laid you out.
Yeah.
So that's if that.
So it's not a trivial decision, point is. And he's got a caretaking function with the grandma who's got Alzheimer's, and, you know, it's a big deal.
Right. All right. God bless you all for supporting us. Live shows, Long Beach, Irvine, Vegas coming up, and you can go to the website, check out when. Also, President Me, people have been buying the book and really enjoying the crap out of it, and continue. We appreciate it. Also, if you want to support the show, subscribe. What do we figure? $2 a show? $8 a month? What do we figure out?
Juju.
Juju. It's good juju. PayPal. Button is where you go. You just go to keep the pirate ship afloat. You want to click through Amazon link at adamanddrdrewshow.com. We would appreciate it. Also, fund anything. Help us fight the patent trolls. We're winning. It's just expensive. So we appreciate the help.
Juju, so you can hear more stories about Jimmy Kimmel farting up a bus.
It was one of the greatest moments of my life.
It certainly is.
Absolutely. What it'll be remembered for. So until next time, Sam Crawford, Dr. Drew, Chris Max Patton, Gary Haftard, saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.